It's been great being with you, and across the park is...
The most exciting thing you can start a show with.
Coming live from the 2SER studio.
This is a great show.
Across the park, 2SER.
And just go for a swim, but like deep.
Come on in, meatball.
Testicles. You're pointing at the doggy.
Gummy ball. Which part of that was
the real problem with that?
Bloody.
I can stand the prick.
Oh, bloody bird.
Let's not do this.
Oh, the corner injury. She got a corner injury.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a show that may look like it's hosted by three cardboard cutouts, when in actual fact, we are real humans with feelings. We are, of course, 2SER's number two sports show and number seven political show. Joel Kasem is what my birth certificate reads, and as I said earlier, if you were listening, I am joined by two other humans. First up is a man who is currently on tour. It's Mick Rad.
Hey, brother, what's going on? Good Hello, to see brother. You both. I'm just chilling out in the old bar and bay, just staying around, hanging out.
What? Who are you trying to be?
You got I don't it. Know.
A Byron Bayer.
I'm a Byron Bayer. I've been here for 5 days and I pretty much just am a local now. So I'm not coming back, guys. I'm staying here.
That's okay. Your internet connection's not too bad.
Yeah. I don't think anyone needs to be anywhere right now. So you may as well just do what makes you happy.
Mind you, they don't like the 5G in Byron. So we're only on 4G. So it'll have to do.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit funny this week with you. I'm the only one recording with a microphone this week. Oh, no, Gabby, sorry, Gabby has a microphone. Sorry, Gabby.
So I'm a bit dark here. Sorry.
Yeah.
And just reminding all the listeners that, yes, we are still doing the show via Zoom, which is an online video conferencing platform, which has now become the place that we record our show and broadcast it across the airwaves to you. It's a real mind fuck.
It is.
I wasn't going to say it, and then I was like, you know what? I'm going to bloody say it.
When I go back and edit, I'll search for that pause, throw a beep in.
Yeah. You both were looking at me going, what's she going to do? What
is she going to do? It? I can't wait. And she did it.
Yeah.
Hey, also joining us is a woman who can definitely walk down a steady incline. It's Gabby Morris.
Wait, is this in reference to Mick slipping over last week?
No.
Trump.
Oh, Trump. He fell over?
He struggled with a ramp that was at a 1 degree angle.
Oh, it does sound
really
like
really struggled. Yeah, I guess it does a little bit.
Comparing me to Trump? I mean, come on. Just because we're not in the same room and I can't defend myself. I don't think that's very fair.
You're in Byron. You're currently on tour taking your show.
You're
on
doing
the road.
A Gabby Morris.
You are doing a Gabby Morris, searching for the best internet.
I wanted to win the award for going the furthest north. So I actually went up to Tweed Head, so I think I'll win. I can't go
you
any
definitely
further.
Definitely win. You do win.
I'm actually now I feel a bit like funny because Gabby's obviously been everywhere around New South Wales. Mick, you've gone to the top. I've done nothing. I've done every single episode from this exact same room with the exact same background.
And it's such a boring background.
There's nothing happening.
I know, it's so boring. You've done nothing.
Oh, come on.
And I think I've done the most bizarre recordings. I've done it at my nan's house. I've done it in the van. I've done it at multiple houses across New South Wales. Joel's just like, hey, guys, it's me again. In my house with
room,
my
Joel?
Miniature cricket bat.
Yeah, I say I live in an apartment, but it's just the room. That door that you can see behind me is the front door and bathroom. It's both.
It's actually kind of cool because it means that Across the Park technically has been on tour. Like,
yeah,
we have been on a virtual tour.
We have.
Recording in all sorts of exotic locations.
Yeah. Great.
I'm
very happy
with that.
It makes life so flexible.
Yeah. I mean, I miss the studio.
And be next to you guys. And I was thinking the other day, like, how weird and ironic it was at that time. Remember that time I was in the studio and I licked the microphone accidentally?
Yes.
Like, what would happen if I did that now? Like, there would be biohazard alarms going off.
Yeah. I think it actually happened around this.
Maybe
this
that.
Of, right?
And I got really sick.
Yeah.
So we a weird flu. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
I fully expected you to get COVID, Gabby, like during this time.
Hang on. Let's just, I think we need to really be aware that this is not over. That it is over. Highly likely it could happen again. Yes. I could get it, sorry. And there could be another second wave. So can you just shut your mouth?
All right.
Oh, no. I'm definitely going to get it. Everybody says I'm going to get it too because I get all the weird things. Ah, oh, far out.
You'll be okay. Just don't think about it.
I just don't want to lose my taste, sense of taste. That's just... Sounds terrible.
I've got sand all over me. I'm just living.
No, we don't want to know where the sand is, Mick.
Have you been for a swim?
Everywhere. You look.
Yeah. I went to the swim nearly every day. I haven't been today because it's a bit chilly and cloudy and stuff. But yeah, every day I've gone in the water, gone for a swim, tried to body surf, but the waves are a bit shit. And sort of like, unless you've got a board to go on, you can't really do anything. Like, because it's just like really shallow for ages, and then it just goes boom. Really deep and all the waves crashing you. I'm going to be hopeless.
One of the dorkiest explanations of how the surf is. It's like, you know, it's just like a bit shit. It's like long, short. Oh, yeah. And then just like. You fully look like classic Airbnb. Mick in the background of his video right now is just this like full on like stereotypical Airbnb beach house painting of just dolphins in the ocean. Like if you're not on a beach house and
thought they were flying.
If there aren't any dolphins. Then you know that you're not at a good beach house. Or totally. If there's no live, life, love. Live, life, love. Oh, God.
And as you said,
can you find something like that, Mick?
There's nothing else in this room. There is just a little arty beach picture. But no, nothing that says live, life, love or surf or, you know, Byron. I don't know.
It's not like
but
a little...
Guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Byron, you know, is well known for, you know, lots of things, a beach and surf and hippies and whatnot. But one of the biggest things it's known for is Chris Hemsworth. And he hangs around town. He comes down to town. He just walks around. Everyone just, like, looks at him because he's like an idol. He's like Thor, you know. He's Thor. He's just like
very similar to Thor. Very similar. Yeah. They look so similar.
Yeah. I know. It's freaky. But what happened the other day is him and his brothers and some mates were running down Ewingsdale Road without any shirts on. Ooh. Just jogging, going for a jog. And it was like, it was causing accidents. Like cars were just stopping. It was like, you know, like, it was just like ridiculous. Why would they do that? Even guys and girls, kids, elderly, doesn't matter who you are, you would turn your head and look. And go, what?
Mick, if I had a rig like that, I would never wear a shirt. Even in the middle of winter, it wouldn't matter.
But I haven't seen him personally yet. That's one of my aims before I go is to see Chris.
Oh, you didn't see him when he was running around?
No, this is just a story that went around town. Everyone knew about it. I was like, oh, my God, did you see Chris Hemsworth? Like, no, I missed it. But I know where his kids go to school.
I reckon that's what they say to the tourists every time they go, come to Byron.
Yeah.
I reckon every local's like, oh, have you seen Chris Hemsworth yet?
But yeah, I'm sure it's on the brochure, the trip tourist brochure, because
yeah, just Chris Hemsworth's rig.
What else is happening in Byron?
I'm relaxing.
I'm just having a relaxing time,
right? Relaxing, just going, swimming, walking, going to restaurants, hanging out with mates, and
all right. Drinking, I don't think
drinking
you need to
a lot.
That much.
Look, stone and wood. Stone and wood, that's what I'm drinking. When in Byron, that's all you drink.
Okay.
And kombucha.
And kombucha. and I'm taken to drinking oat milk because all the milk around here, like the cow milk, just gives my guts the runs. So I'm going for oat milk and it's making it better.
Why would cow milk in Byron give you a
certain brand, a certain brand of milk that when I drink it, it makes my guts just turn like it's like painful. It's only
so
this one
are you
brand
lactose
this
intolerant? One
no, not at all. I can have usual milk, no worries. But there's this one brand and there's one sort of milk which is everywhere in Byron because it comes from around here, and every cafe has got it. So I had it the first couple of days and went, oh my guts, and decided I can't have that milk anymore. And I have oat milk and I've been enjoying it. So
how good. It's what I drink in my coffee.
Oat I didn't milk. Know that. That's awesome.
It is the best. It's like, this is ridiculous. I love this show because we literally never speak about sport, and that's why I do it with you guys. I'm all about oat milk because it's a really good milk alternative compared to like soy or almond. Not only is it sustainable, it's a really good environmental choice in terms of right. environmental impact, but it's like really sweet and creamy, which is what you want, like in comparison to like a cow milk, which is what you want. Whereas almond's like a bit dirty and soy is just a bit like bleh, gross.
Yeah.
Oat milk, selling it. Try it in your coffee today.
Okay.
Done. Well, let's get a sponsorship for next week. We're good.
Can I ask a question in regards to oat milk? What is it?
Sure.
Because oats don't produce milk. So what is it?
Oh, come on, you fuck.
You're speaking to someone who's allergic to dairy. I don't know, okay? And I also spoke to...
What do you mean you're allergic to dairy?
I'm allergic to dairy.
So what milk's alternatives do you drink?
I don't have milk. I'm an adult.
You don't have smoothies? You don't have tea, coffee?
I'm not a cat, no.
What? Cats don't drink smoothies or have tea or coffee?
I don't know. I don't drink milk. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink tea.
Well, you've got to try some oat milk. In the next week, you've got to try coffee with oat milk.
He doesn't drink coffee.
I'm good. Yeah, I don't drink coffee.
You're a weirdo.
Is that because you don't have milk?
That's because I don't like the taste of it.
A baby.
What?
I'm not a baby.
You're a baby. Yeah, you're a baby.
I'm a grown boy, thank you. Now listen, where does it come from? I genuinely want to know.
Where does it come from, Joel? It's oats. It's oats. It's
okay,
oats.
But how does that become milk? There's obviously some sort of process where the oats become milk.
Fuck.
Because it's not real milk. It's obviously not real milk. It's not got dairy
in it. I said
a
milk alternative. Obviously, a milk alternative. It's not milk, but it's a milk alternative.
It's not called oat milk alternative.
If you get oats and you like mix it all up, like smoosh it and you blend it all up, it's like
it becomes lots of oats.
Yeah, but liquid
it would become like sawdust.
No, it's got you're really annoying me now.
Maybe we'll talk about this off air.
Yeah, I think so. No, the amount of people we just lost is, I mean, there would have been maybe two to begin with, but they've gone. They have
all the oat milk companies listening to this right now need to send us some samples so we can give it to Joel and he can find out how good it is.
Okay, I'm not denying the fact that it might be the most delicious drink in the world. I just don't know why it's called milk if it's not milk.
But why is milk called milk? This is just a question on language. That's just stupid.
Can I tell you something?
No, I don't know. I'm actually furious.
All right. We'll discuss this in another future time.
So, it doesn't make me angry at all. It makes you guys angry. That makes me want to keep going.
So,
how are you guys?
Joel, what do you do with your life then? If you don't drink tea, you don't drink coffee, you are allergic to milk and you live in your room.
That's it. You just summed up my life. I don't know what else can I say.
We love you anyway, Joel.
Thank you.
Oh, do we? I think you speak for yourself, though.
No, he said we. How are you, Gabby? What's happening?
I'm good. I've actually been loving being back in the city because I can get my strong oat flat white at most cafes. So being in the inner west is a dream. I've also living up to my lesbian status and playing a lot of tennis. So,
I didn't know that was associated with lesbian.
Well, that's because you're not a lesbian. So I've played tennis like three times in the last like 3 days. So that's every day.
Are you getting good?
I'm addicted. I'm getting good and I've also got tennis elbow. And I didn't know that was a thing, but it's a bloody thing and it's painful.
Where have you got it?
And I've... In my wrist. No, I've got it in my elbow, like in that joint, in that tendon that kind of comes across your elbow. And then it's also in my wrist. And I think it's just because I'm over-rotated. I don't think I'm doing it properly. But
are you stretching? You're not young anymore, Gab. You've got to do stretches and
I know. I definitely know that I'm not young anymore. It doesn't take much to, yeah. after a couple of games, I'm like, all righty then, time for a beer.
Well, at least you're being sporty because, you know, Joel and I aren't.
No. Well, look, the gyms have opened up.
Have you ever been?
Back in New South Wales.
Yes, they have. Which is interesting. All those gym junkies now back on the Instagram showing us their rigs.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
What would they have done that whole time?
Yeah, seriously. What would they have done?
Mirror photos of Chris Hemsworth and posing them.
Yeah. So you've been up to nothing, Joel. Mick, you're on Byron. I've been playing tennis. So.
Nothing. The gym's open.
They're all caught up.
Yeah, good catch up, everyone. We should do it over coffee.
See you guys.
Time.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Has there been any sport, Joel?
There has been a bit. I'll start with a bit of good news because that's not something.
I want the bad news first.
No, I actually don't have bad news. It's just good news. And I think normally sport is bad news, but this is something not associated with sport, which is good news. So I'll bring that to you. In a survey of 4,830.
Oh, I love a survey.
Do you? Okay. That's the good news. There was a survey. In a survey of 4,832 Aussies and New Zealanders conducted by True North Research, people were asked which teams engendered, is that a word? I've written it down like I know it, engendered the greatest level of pride, trust, enjoyment, respect, and bond. The top four teams were all Australian women's sporting teams. The top one was taken out by the Cricketers, and then the Matildas, and then the Sevens team, and then the Netball Diamonds. So there you go.
They are the what? There you go. They epitomize like the most.
So yeah, pride, trust, enjoyment, respect, and bond.
Wow, good girls.
That includes any like sporting, like just you know individual teams, not just Australian teams, and even New Zealand teams because they were involved with this as well. Top four, all women's sporting teams. Whoa.
So basically, we're saying that sport is played best by women, and we trust their teams, and
yes.
We see them as highlighting the best bits of our sport. Is that what you're
saying? We're most proud of them, and we get the most enjoyment out of watching them.
There you go.
So why aren't they on the screens more, and why is there no money being flooded back into them?
Good question. Great question.
It will never be answered.
The Wallabies were ranked 12th, which is way too high, I think. Of the individual sporting teams, Hobart Hurricanes came out on top. And that's it.
The Hobart Hurricanes?
It's a cricket team, yeah. Yeah. Okay, in NRL, it happened. Finally, a game had to be it was bound to happen. A game had to be postponed due to COVID-19. There's a game meant to be played on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and it had to get moved to Monday because one of the players' kids went to a school where the teacher got coronavirus.
Oh, I did not hear this.
So everyone had to go in and get tested and do all this sort of stuff.
Oh, God, man. I reckon they'd be over it by now, hey?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it's just...
The good thing is that we're not getting too many cases and we can track them pretty easily. But, this sort of thing will probably keep happening, hey? Because if there's any contact at all, then...
It's going to be happening until we get a vaccine. Because, we can't... There's just a lot of the cases are coming in from overseas that we're testing in New South Wales. Like, we're doing an amazing job in New South Wales, there's no doubt about it, but... It's just going to be impossible to.
New Zealand's pretty much free of the virus, so we can get to a New Zealand point. Yesterday. Yeah, but we know exactly where they came from. So.
Yeah. It's just going to be this like constant vigilant. Everyone needs to be onto it. Like I feel like you still have to be vigilant about it. Otherwise.
Totally.
Yeah, but I just mean like they must be over it. It must be really draining and hard, just like it is for everyone, regardless of what you're doing. But for them especially, because they're quite restricted, right, and what they can do. And
it's like, bubble. God.
Yes.
And they have to get tested quite still super frequently, which just getting that jab in the nose. Whew.
You've had it, right, Gab?
Oh, yeah.
No, Rosie has, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll regularly just tick things up my nose anyway. Oh, I did get a thing stuck up my nose last week. That was really exciting.
What was it?
I had a camera went up there and went through my nose into my mouth and I had a look at my tonsils.
You've had it. Did they
record? Remember, we've all three of us now have how weirdly had that procedure done.
I've got bulky tonsils.
Tonsils? Do you mean your tonsils? Or do you mean your vocal cords?
My bulky tonsils, they're really big. And the guy said, look, they're really big. You might want to get them out. And I was like, I don't want to get them out. Do I have to get them out? I was like, no. But they might cause you problems later in life. I'm like, oh, okay.
How much? I mean, you're pretty much through your life, Mick, so it's not.
Fucking hell. Oh, no. Rightio.
You're right.
Next topic.
Okay, well, we'll continue with rugby league for a little bit longer.
Better yours.
So, yeah, look, we'll get to that in a sec. Roosters in their last three games have scored 129 points to 18. That's quite a lot. Every team has now won a game.
Play.
Oh, yes. We'll get to that.
Keep going.
We'll get to
I won't interrupt you.
Sorry. Actually, we won't get to it. I haven't written it down. I have. Every team has now won a game, but only one team has won all their games, and that is...
Para!
The Slippery Eels.
Para! yes, first time since 1986 we've won five games in a row, and that year we won the premiership. So,
did you win them all at the start of the year?
4 years later. No, I'm saying, well, no, yeah. What? Yeah, we won the first five games of the year in 1986.
Okay.
I'm very excited because that potentially could mean two of my teams win something this year, because we'll talk about Liverpool later, but... my mind is blowing just a little bit at how good Parramatta are going. But, we've got the Roosters this week, so we'll see.
How much longer do we have the NRL season?
Till October? November.
Yeah.
Okay. So you still have a way to go, Mick?
Yes, Gabby, of course.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand.
And Gabby,
I'm just trying to understand.
Even if they win the grand final this year, asterisks.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Not a normal season. Not a normal season. All right. The AFL returned last week. It worked.
Yeah.
After months away, semi-new-look AFL returned. The first game back, bizarrely, ended in a 36-point draw.
That's a weird game.
Yeah.
Way to come back
between them.
And have a draw. And then the weird thing was, because they also have the fake crowd, and so when the siren went for the end of the game, there was a big cheer. As people were like, yeah, I bet on a draw or whatever. Like, no team won.
What happens in a stadium when is it usually a draw? Like, is this no one cheer?
No, not really. I mean, if it's a home game for a team and they've come back from like 100 points, then you would cheer because you'd be ecstatic that they did something. Mm. But just the 36-all draw, is kind of nothing.
The AFL really should change that rule.
Do overtime in AFL?
They really should. They really should have a golden goal. Like, just go for another 5 minutes each way, and the first person to get a goal wins. I just don't know why they don't do that. It's crazy. They have changed the rule.
They do in finals, though, don't they? In AFL.
Well, they've only just changed the rule. You can't get a draw in a grand final now in AFL. I think they changed it a year or two ago. But that's only because they had a drawn grand final,
that's right.
5-6 years ago.
Yep.
I guess that's pretty uncommon, is it? It must be
pretty uncommon.
It would be.
You only get one or two a year, if that.
Yeah. Mick,
speaking of AFL.
Yes.
No, wait. They changed that rule. They've changed the tackle rule, right? Because what's his face? Smashed him to the ground with pinned his arm back and smashed him to the ground.
Yep. Anyway, sling tackles.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad, but I don't think it didn't look intentional.
The thing is, I mean, we're making these contact sports less and less contact, which is pretty interesting. But we're just trying to avoid injuries that can affect long-term affect players. And I get it. But, I mean, it is sanitizing the game a lot. I mean, the league has had a lot of rules. No more shoulder charges, no more smooshing people's faces into the ground, all that sort of stuff.
I think it's a good thing. Like, we've spoken a lot about brain injuries and there's been a lot of court cases and class action cases against these codes because of the poor treatment of pretty bad concussions.
That's it. You can have a good sport without killing people. Yeah.
It must be hard, though, to readjust the way that you play the game. I mean, this is a bit different because that tackle was pretty bad. But, anyway, interesting. It's changing.
Mick, Premier League?
Oh. Premier League started just a night or two ago. As I'm pretty excited because Liverpool are two games away from winning the Premiership. But they're playing out the whole season. Like, it's still, you know, a good 80-odd games to go between all the teams. But it started out with Man City beating Arsenal 3-0, in which Arsenal were just horrendously bad. But there was another game as well where the goal line technology was a bit controversial. So it's apparently like a chip in the ball, which is supposed to sense when the ball goes completely over the line. And then it vibrates like a watch on the referee's hand to tell him that the ball's gone over the line or not.
Yeah.
But it didn't go off because it got confused about, you know, where he was and the post and the other player.
Bizarre thing to see. So what happened is the Sheffield United goalkeeper, he like scratches the ball right on the line. And then his defender sort of slightly pushes him in, and then he kind of like falls back into the net. And it's like, well, that's 100% a goal. Like, it's so obvious. And there's like 20 different VR cameras, and it didn't buzz off on his wrist, and he has to go off those cameras.
It's so weird. So they couldn't use VAR to prove that it went over the line. They could only use the Hawkeye technology, and Hawkeye didn't go off, so it wasn't a goal, and it was 0-0 the game.
Wow.
Under the protocol, the VAR is able to check goal situations. However, due to the fact that the on-field match officials did not receive the signal, and that the unique nature of that VAR did not intervene, it's so weird. It's like, don't you have sideline refs that can just be like, goal?
They used to. But they trust Hawkeye now. And Hawkeye have now apologised and said, maybe you bug it up with the technology. So who knows? Maybe they'll fix it up. But EPL's back, which is exciting. We've got NBA back on July 31st. I don't know.
A-League back, July 16th.
Rugby's back. Yeah, Union's back with the Aussie comp. A-League, yeah. Things are happening.
It's all happening.
Yeah. The US Open has got its dates. It's going to be happening.
Okay.
November. But unfortunately, which is really sad news, is that they have scrapped wheelchair tennis.
Yes.
And Dylan Allcott is absolutely furious, which
100%. This was going to be his last year. Like, I was pretty sure he was going to retire this year. So this was going to be his big last chance to win.
Yeah. So it's really sad because, you know, they made the decision that it was, you know, not on. They had no one there that was capable of representing anyone from wheelchair tennis to make that decision. And as Dylan Allcott says, you know, it's up to me if I want to play or not. And, you know, the repercussions of being in a situation where COVID is around. I think it's really just terrible. No, it's like blatant stupid discrimination.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible really idea. Sad.
Terrible.
And it's, again, just, you know, goes to show the lack of sort of insight and sort of injustice and discrimination that's happening in some of these big sporting leagues. It's terrible. I mean, I don't know. To be fair, though, I wouldn't want to go to the bloody US. It's just a nightmare over there at the moment with COVID and
shit. It's only going to get worse too, I reckon.
Also, that's really sad. Did you see golfer Colin Morikawa? I can't pronounce his name. Excuse my mispronunciation, but he missed a very close putt and he lost $800,000.
Oh. $800,000.
Like, I'm talking like a couple of inches, and
How did he use a driver?
It was like, it was so. You have to watch the video because it's like, mate, I could have done that.
I looked that up. Was it for a tournament or something? And he missed it.
Yeah, some golfing tournament that I know nothing about. And then I was like, I want to play golf. $800,000. Give me
golf is where the money is. Golf is where the money is. Super quick game. I've only got time for one question. So we did this game last week. I'm going to say either a cocktail or a horse. You tell me which it is. Northern.
This isn't fair though, because Mick has my little pony collection. He knows them all.
Northern Dancer, a thoroughbred who in 1964 became the first Canadian bred horse to win the Kentucky Derby, or a shot of chilled vodka mixed with a little bit of dry vermouth.
Horse.
No, I reckon it's the vermouth.
It's the horse.
Yeah, baby.
Gabby wins.
All right, that's the end of the show.
I can't believe it.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys. Very quickly.
Good to see you.
Yeah, bye.
Nice to see everybody. Stay sporty.
Bye.
It's my line, not yours. It's mine.
It's mine. I made it up. Bye.
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 Yes, hello and welcome to One Last Thing here on 2SER 107.3 or 2SER.com. My name is Mitch Byatt, and if you're a long-time 2SER listener, you might remember me from 2SER Brekkie about 3 or 4 years ago. Well, guess what? I've been handed the keys to this little 7:30 p.m. Friday slot, so it's good to be with you. Whatever you're doing, let's do one last thing together for the week and see how we ended up. Now, we're here for a good time, not a long time, so I'm not quite sure how long this show is going to last, so we'll make it count and make it really special. So think of this show, One Last Thing, as 2SER's low-budget tonight show, and that's kind of why I named it One Last Thing. It's one last thing we're going to do together before we chuff off for the weekend. So it's going to be a bit of a random show, I think, if you think a very low-budget tonight show. But we're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to be speaking to some of my closest associates and chucking on some great tunes in between as well. In this very first edition, you're going to hear from Murray Olds, a.k.a. the original Old Mate. He's been a journalist for 40 years. Going to be checking with him for one last thing to know. What was the biggest news story of the week and get his read on that? Going to be talking to Tom Roach as well, introducing him into the world of radio and to SER more generally. He's going to be my future correspondent. You know, a lot of shows have foreign correspondents, political correspondents, music correspondents, or whatever. We've got a future correspondent on this show, and that guy is called Tom Roach. Find out what interest he brings from the future in a little while. And my musical dreams will come true. Well, sort of. Not musically talented in any way, but going to be having some fun with a musical mate of mine, Billy, with this a very special segment called You Haven't Heard of Them. Loads of great tunes, as I said, as well. Very familiar to 2SER listeners. Going to kick it off with something from The Dragon. This is Food for My Soul. You're on 2SER. Yes.
We'll bring many new sounds to your community.
some wisdom, take some truth, drive the high road to the fountain of youth. Be humble, set yourself a goal. You'll be feeding.
SER urgently needs to replace our antenna after it was struck by lightning recently. Please chip in now with a tax-deductible donation at 2SER.com and save our signal.
You are One Last Thing on your Friday night here on 2SER 107.3. And one last thing we should do is check in on what happened this week. What were some of the biggest stories? And to help us do that is veteran broadcaster and original old mate Murray Olds. Murray, how you doing?
Mitch, very good evening. Yeah, pretty well, considering the old coronavirus crisis keeps on rolling along. And like many people, I've been lucky enough to be working right through this dreadful time for so many people. I've had a job.
Yeah, yeah. Lucky ducks indeed. So what's been happening this week, Murray? What do you reckon the biggest takeouts in the news world? What should we walk away from this week thinking and remembering?
Well, a couple of big domestic ones. I mean, the jobless figures that came out this week are just horrifying.
Mm.
The worst in 20 years because of coronavirus. And the published figure, 7.1% unemployment in this country, dreadful, bloody awful. Mm. But economists are saying it's actually double that because they're not counting a lot of people. So it rose, the jobless rate rose from 6.4% in April to 7.1% in May. What does that mean? Well, in real terms, there's 835,000 people, Australians, mums and dads, boys and girls, who have lost their jobs since March. I'll say that again. 835,000 Aussies have lost their jobs since March. But the economists are saying the real figure is much, much higher because the Bureau of Statistics, I hate that word, the Bureau of Stats only counts you as unemployed if you're actively looking for work or you don't have a job. And here's the thing. You've got 7.1% unemployment. That's the official figure.
Yeah.
But how many tens and hundreds of thousands are on job seeker and job keeper? And they aren't counted. I mean, they're not jobs. They're sitting at home collecting these payments from taxpayers, as they're completely entitled to.
Mm.
But they're not counted in the unemployment figures. They haven't got a bloody job. They're not going, popping on the bus and going to work.
And aren't some of these numbers pretty funny as well? Like, I think there's an underemployed number as well, which
bingo.
Doesn't count. Yeah.
That's the other side of a very, very, oh, hell, it's so depressing to read this figure. The ABS says the real figure of people either unemployed or underemployed, that's called underutilization. Don't you hate that word? I mean, I hate these economic terms, for being underutilized. 2.3 million Australians either haven't got a job or haven't got enough work through the week. Now, that's 20%. Can you imagine that? I mean, how are you paying the rent? How the hell are you paying the bills? How are you putting petrol in the car, feeding the kids, doing the stuff that we take for granted? I mean, you and I have both seen other parts of the world where you can't take it for granted. You can't take a meal at the end of the day for granted in so many parts of the world. We can in Australia. The other big one, Mitch, is the university sector. Today, a very significant announcement from the federal government about our universities. Now, for so long, our unis have been addicted like junkies, addicted to the absolute torrents of cash that have come in from overseas students. all these sandstone piles squatting around paying their vice chancellors $1 million salaries. Please. Medical degrees that cost, say, maybe $150,000, $200,000 for an Australian student, two or three times as much for a kid from China or India, where a village is getting together to send one boy or girl here to study in Australia, knowing they'll get a doctor who's going to go back there and look after that region of their country. So universities have been exploiting these foreign kids and denying local kids spots at the same time. Now, all of a sudden, the foreign students aren't here. And if China has its way, no more will come. And don't forget, I mean, it's the third biggest sector of our economy. After iron ore and coal, education is the third biggest export earner.
What's going to happen?
Okay, what's going to happen? The federal government's outlined plans today to overhaul universities, put more places for Australian students to be guaranteed. Well, here's an idea. What about preserving Aussie spots for Aussie kids? Duh. There are 20,000 kids who normally would go away on a gap year every year, normal time. So 20,000 Australian boys and girls head up to the Northern Hemisphere or somewhere around the world to have a year off. Well, they're not going anywhere this year, so they're staying home to study. And what's that going to mean? Well, you're going to have more spots reserved here in more spots that the government pays for in universities. But that's going to happen. The other thing, too, the government's going to change what our sons and daughters have to pay for their degrees. So all these bloody artsy, you know, the humanities degrees,
so I have
go up by over 100%.
No
fees, the kids. Yes, you know, communications. It's going to cost the same as a lawyer. Gee, that's right. We need more bloody journos who are lawyers, not
people like me. Basically,
the other side, and it's the good side because your little girls are going to be either languages, nursing, teaching, maths and agriculture, the cost of doing these degrees, Mitch, is going to fall by up to 60%.
Great.
So what it's called job ready. Don't you love these phrases? Job ready degrees.
Who's come up with these names?
Oh, somebody pointy-headed Boffin in Canberra. I mean, here's the thing. The politicians haven't had a pay cut, have they?
No.
The politicians haven't been kicked out of work. Mate, so they're the two, I think, domestic stories that I really enjoyed. This, but also that the old branch stacking down in Victoria. Oh, I mean, remember Malcolm Turnbull famously stood up in front of a Liberal Party audience and says, Liberal Party has no factions. Well, that's bullshit for a start off. They're just as driven by factions as Labor. Nowhere do you see Labor's factionalism displayed so graphically as we did this week down in Victoria.
What I find amazing about this is that, you know, it's at a crisis time, like COVID's still going gangbusters, especially in Victoria, and these guys just can't get over just clinging to power and doing stuff in their own self-interest. That's what I find the most striking thing about it.
It's disgusting, isn't it? Mm. They're supposed to serve us. They couldn't give a rat's about us. It's about getting their greasy big fat bums on the leather seats in Parliament, state or federal, it doesn't matter, and then starting to wield influence. And getting people who think the same as them into the tent to screw the rest of us. It's horrible.
I love the there's nothing quite like a good old-fashioned secret recording expose. Behind closed doors, you know, how people really talk.
And apparently Alibaba, you can get these little hidden cameras for $30.
Beautiful. Well, we might leave it there, Murray. What's any big plans for the weekend?
I'll be playing a bit of bad golf, mate.
Yeah.
And I'm playing. My band is playing. We've got a gig.
Yeah.
A post-COVID gig.
Give it a plug. Where are you playing?
About 40 drunks who are going to be socially distant. Not. we're going to be playing outside, weather permitting. And they're going to have a barbecue and whatnot. So we're just going to go and jam a bit.
Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate your time, man.
Happy days, Mitch. Have a great weekend, my friend. All the listeners, good evening to you and enjoy the weekend.
Feeling inside, I'll make you wanna throw me down. Talking about.
Welcome back to One Last Thing on 2SER on your Friday evening. Hope you're geared up for a fantastic weekend ahead of you. But one last thing, one of the one last things we're going to be doing on tonight's show is checking in with our very own future correspondent. So many shows have all sorts of correspondents, whether that is a finance correspondent, whether it's a sports correspondent, or even a foreign correspondent. We here on 2SER are blessed to have a future correspondent, and that person is Tom Roach, and he joins me on the line. Hey, Roachy.
G'day, Mitchie. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing really well, man. So before, I'm quite intrigued at how this is going to work. Can you give us a bit of an insight into how you're able to time travel or how you're able to see into the future? It might actually physically go there. Maybe it's more of a horoscope-esque kind of thing. Can you give us a bit of an insight into how that works?
Oh, Mitch, it's no horoscope. I tell you what, I'm right in the future at the moment. It's 2023 where I am. I come from a long family history of time travel. Funnily enough, my great-great-grandson is actually my father. It was one of the first ones to travel back in time. I have taken the opportunity to go into the future, and as you know, I have a strong passion for journalism and the news of the world. So I am taking all the headlines from the future, and I'm bringing them back to you today so you can learn about what's about to happen and how we can prepare for what lies ahead.
I'm glad it's for a noble cause. You're giving us a chance to prepare rather than, say, doing something a bit more dodgy like gambling or anything like that. So I'm glad your heart's in the right place. And that probably, you know, lends itself to the family tradition that you're carrying on so bravely.
Well, Mitch, my family has actually made most of our money through gambling, and we don't want to share that knowledge with others. So this is our charitable cause that we're doing at the moment with 2SER, so we appreciate that partnership. For those who do want to get into the gambling trade, we do have run a subscription, which is $1,000 a month. But let's stick to the news. Let's stick to what's good for the people at the moment, and that's the headlines of tomorrow today.
So is this like when big corporations, big evil corporations do charity things? This is kind of your version of that.
Well, Mitch, you know, some people might call them big evil corporations. I call it my family. But yes, I guess that is the angle that we're going for here at the moment.
All right, we're getting off topic, but let you do what you came here for, and that is the good and noble cause of future journalism. Okay, so give us the headlines. What's happening in the future? How far forward are we going? Let's hear it.
Well, Mitch, I'm currently in 2023, not too far away. I thought, you know, as our first time trialing this new future correspondent, we shouldn't stray too far away from present day. But I'll start with some national news for you. And to kick things off, the headline in the national area is the T2 lockdowns. So the new Australian PM, Shane Warne, announced the 23rd wave of COVID to hit the country. To help manage the health and economic fallout, he has introduced a T2 system, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. At the conclusion of a two-week period, all restrictions are lifted, general lawlessness and debauchery ensues, the virus inevitably spreads, and we resume lockdown again. It's the best option we have, and you can't spin it any other way. So, Mitch, that's what's happening in Australia at the moment, the T2 lockdowns. It's what you have to look forward to, and it's what I'm experiencing at the moment.
I mean, there's a lot there. I think it was the number 23 there somewhere, and I think any cricket nerd, I know that you are, was Shane Warne's number 23. I'd love to see his campaigns and how he became elected. I think I'm more interested in that than the COVID thing.
Well, as you know, Mitch, he's the king of spin, and his campaign was something most politicians will remember, and certainly the Australian public who voted for him.
Also, given his kind of method of 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. It does sound a bit simple, so I'm hoping he's got some great scientific minds around him to hopefully make that work, although the results didn't really sound that promising.
Look, Shane really goes about things his own way, and it's the way he's running the country. You know, it's Shane's way or the highway. I can tell you right now, Ricky Ponting is nowhere to be seen, nor is Steve Waugh.
Political prisoners, maybe. All right, all right. That's the first headline. What else you got for us? That's something to look forward to for us all.
In the global news, so we're really promising signs. We're seeing the end of the US Civil War, the Second Civil War. So the end of America's Second Civil War seems to be on the horizon. Donald Trump says the Second Civil War was bigger than the first, and he's crediting himself. In his new autobiography, The Good, Very Good President, Trump praises his ability to fan the flames of division within the country and notes that not even Obama could have achieved this.
Is it a North versus South thing? Who's fighting who in that Civil War? Can you give us any clarity on that?
It's very hard to tell. There's a lot of fighting, not a lot of unity, and it seems to be every man for himself at this stage.
And you've got one last one for us, I believe. What's the last totally legitimate, not crystal ball related future headline for us?
Yeah, so in 2023, I've got some, you know, for the people, some celebrity news. And this is Chris Lilly and Ancestry.com. So having been a recluse for the last couple of years, Chris Lilly has emerged as a shining light for racial minorities and the stance against racism. Lilly, in partnership with Ancestry.com, has discovered he is 1.4% African American, 2% Japanese, 0.8% Indigenous Australian, 6% Polynesian, and 98% true blue Aussie. Netflix has reinstated his old shows, and Lilly, the new face of cultural diversity in Australia, will be premiering his new show, The Many Colours of My Skin, with Ancestry.com next week. Really good signs there for the multicultural community of Australia. And I know in 2020 things are getting a bit hairy with this conversation, but I can assure you by 2023 those issues are being ironed out.
I'm just glad it's all been straightened out. I'm just glad that, you know, Chris Lilly, he's been able to emerge from the current controversy and really get back on level terms with society. I think that's a great result.
Look, it's a good result for all of us, especially for Chris, who, you know, as we all know, was dragged through the mud, when really a good partnership with Ancestry.com has really straightened everything out.
Hey, out of interest, in the Roach time traveling family tradition, do you have much to do with Ancestry.com?
No comment, Mitch.
Okay, it's before the courts. Hopefully next week you might have an update for us on that front. But there you have it. Future correspondent Tom Roach, the first outing on One Last Thing. Thank you very much, sir, and look forward to what you bring us next Friday.
I appreciate the time, Mitch. Talk to you soon.
Melbourne jangle rockers The Stroppies offer up a quick follow-up to their record from last year with the nimble and rustic Look Alive, the 2SER feature album. Rollicking guitars and charming lyrics inspired by eerie evenings in the city of Melbourne, The Stroppies get truly homespun on their latest album. Look Alive from The Stroppies, the feature album on 2SER 107.3. Stories, ideas, music.
Welcome back to One Last Thing on 2SER 107.3 on your Friday evening. Thanks for hanging out. This is going to be the last piece of the puzzle for the very first show back, and it's called You Haven't Heard of Them. Now, I don't have many skills. One of the skills I think I have is coming up with band names. I know it's not very inventive. It's not going to save the world, but something I think I'm really decent at. And over the years, I've kind of come along and made a pretty impressive list of fake bands that never existed or haven't been industrious enough to check up if they actually do exist or not. Now, because I'm not musically talented, I'm never going to go or do anything with this. But luckily, I've got way more talented friends than me. And one of them is Billy. And Billy joins me now.
Hey, man. How's it going?
You are quite a talented young man. You know, you've been in a few bands. You've composed music for films, so you're the perfect person to realize my fake band reality. So give us some runs on the board. How skilled are you? What have you done in terms of the world of music?
Well, you've really hyped me up there. I don't know if that was such a good idea, but we'll keep going anyway. It's fine. I've done just mainly short films, little bits and podcast themes and stuff like that. I did license some music to a YouTube channel in the States, but I kind of did it all online, and I never figured out what the channel that used my music was. So it's likely that my music is kind of soundtracking some sort of, I don't know. There's some dodgy channels on YouTube. Who knows?
Could there be protests around the world right now being soundtracked to your beautiful, beautiful music, perhaps?
I'd almost guarantee it, to be honest.
Right. So how this is going to work is this is going to be a very official and very good working segment of One Last Thing. So I'm going to give you a fake band name with a bit of a aesthetic feel of what they could sound like, but it's totally in your domain. And you then have 1 week to go away and record and write and produce whatever you can in that week, coming back the following week on One Last Thing and playing a selection of what you've created. So I'm going to give you just a random sort of list of a fake band that I come up with potentially years ago. And I'll go for the very first one. Let's go with something a bit punky, because I know you've, in a couple of bands you've played with before, a slightly punk related. I'm going to give you the band name Low Fat Poison.
Low Fat Poison. That's disgusting, but poison. I love it. Low Fat Poison.
And I think the name, so what should Low Fat Poison's smash hit be? I mean, they're very punk, so probably would not be in the pop world. They wouldn't want to smash up the charts or anything like that. Or actually, they wouldn't want to smash up the charts.
No, that's not commercial radio, yeah.
They're not on MTV or anything like that.
No. Oh, yeah, what would their single be?
Low Fat Poison and their hit. Very underground hit, of course, before they became superstars. Can we make something like Smash Your Face? Can we make it really aggressive? Do you feel comfortable with that?
Yes. I mean, look, I'll muddle through. Smash Your Face. I like that.
So Smash Your Face by Low Fat Poison is going to be the very first edition of You Haven't Heard of Them. Now, as a one-man band, I mean, I've been to a few punk shows. You would have been to much more than me. How will a one-man punk band going to go? I can't wait to see what this is going to sound like.
I mean, I kind of like it. I like the idea of them just on stage, like, you know, spitting at themselves because there's no one else to interact with on stage.
A one-man circle of death, maybe.
Yeah, this guy just running around in circles completely on his own, smashing his own face.
All right, Low Fat Poison, Smash Your Face. The very first edition of You Haven't Heard of Them, we'll be hearing what Billy can come up with next week. So 7:30 next Friday on One Last Thing. Billy, good luck to you, and I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Thanks, man. I'm piercing my ear, my own ear as we speak.
Safety pins are back.
With a safety pin, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Follow your fingers, kick your heels up.
You're on 2SER.
There we go. The first edition of One Last Thing done. I hope you enjoyed yourself. Now you can go and officially enjoy the weekend. Thanks to Murray Olds for his old mate take on the stories of the week. Tom Roach for that rather dark but enlightening look into the future. And to Billy as well. Can't wait to find out what Low Fat Poison Smash My Face sounds like. Tune in next week to find out. My name's Mitch Byatt. Thanks for doing One Last Thing for the week with me. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. I'll see you next week. Be good.